righty. So now is testimony time. So it will. I will not be discerning or vetting anybody here today. It'll be a bit more free flowing as far as if you want to come up and share. It's going to be more like that. But I do want to just give you some guidelines just to sort of prime the pump. Has the Lord spoken to you through His Word? Has the Lord answered any specific prayer requests? Have you grown closer to Him in this season? Or have you been distant from Him in the past and now you're not? Has He been leading you and guiding you in any way? Okay? Carol Lee kind of primed the pump for us, really, in just sharing her story a bit when she was giving the announcements. And this is our time to thank God for who He is and who He is in our lives. So with that, I'd like to invite Evan up. She has something that she wants to share with us at this time. To get us all started.
Thanks, Oli. Thank you. I don't know if I will meet all of the criteria because I forgot most of them. I remember the God part. Maybe this is a problem. Hey, Carol Lee, I'll keep it short for you. I titled this, I Belong. I was working through clearing channels that connect my present with my past and have a physical impact. So I don't know if any of you do really deep inner healing, and there's lots of ways to do that here at church. There's freedom sessions coming up, but I like to do it with a counselor. And we were looking for a source of original trauma that left a wound that is vulnerable to being reopened and traumatized again and again throughout my life. And with Jesus' love and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the embrace of Abba Father and a very kind and compassionate doctor who's walked with me for the last 3 years, we were able to find such a wound. And so where it led me to was when I was about 5 years old, my parents had decided that we would build a home in the outskirts of Prince George. And if you know Prince George, it's pretty small, so the outskirts of Prince George is even smaller. So they had cleared the land by hand because you couldn't get any machines in there. And so my little brother and I would sit in the back of the van with our toys while my parents worked on the land. And people would drive by, usually men in their 20s, swearing at us because we're colored. And they didn't want us there, living in their neighborhood. And one night we got a call, and people had burned our house down to the foundation. And so it was my first of two times where I've appeared on the first front page of a paper. It's me holding my dad's leg, and we're standing on the foundation of what was left of our home, just the cement. And my mother still calls it, oh, the kids were just playing. She doesn't call it racism. She doesn't call it arson. As a five-year-old, you kind of put two and two together and say, you know, I kind of figure the guys who were driving by, swearing at us, telling us we don't belong, had something to do with this. I'm a very logical person. But what it left open was a deep-rooted belief that I don't belong. I don't belong anywhere, not this church, not school, not family, not friends, not a race, not a people. Technically, I'm from two races, the indigenous Fijian population and the Indian population. My great-grandfather was stolen as a child and forced into slavery by the British, and that's how we ended up in Fiji. So that was life. I'm just going through life, looking through the window, not really belonging. And then one day I belong to my husband, and I belong to my daughters, and I was theirs. And then one day they were gone, and I don't belong anymore, and I don't belong to anyone. So I walk this earth alone with my Lord, learning to swim, surf, paddleboard, and build a new life alone. You'll often see me in kits, falling off my paddleboard, or, you know, almost not drowning in the pool, or just painting one of my paintings on the beach. So that's what I do. And then this week, I had one of my healing meetings. And during that meeting, I saw the picture of me again as a five-year-old on the burnt remains of our home. And then I saw a picture, thanks, Trish, of Jesus beaten on the ground, lying beside me. I assume when the artist drew this picture, it was when one of the times where Jesus stumbled with the cross and perhaps fell like this. And in this picture in the meeting, I saw him lying like this next to my own body, beaten, lying on the ground, unable to get up and move forward. And I could feel him saying through his eyes, "You belong to me. I paid this price because you belong to me." And all of creation, if you think about it, is really a gift to Jesus from the Father and the Holy Spirit. We belong to him. And I know you all know this verse, "For God so loved the world." But if you reverse it, the reverse is true as well. "For God so loved his only begotten Son that he gave him the world." And then I could hear a faint song in the background, and it grew louder and louder until I could hear the words. And it was my favorite worship song back then. And I had walked down to the aisle to this, and I had to walk down alone. And I remembered that just before I walked down the aisle, I looked down and I could visibly see a lion walking next to me. And I couldn't, because of the hatred that I had received, I couldn't really relate to Jesus as a white male, because that was what was portrayed to me in the Christian world. But I could relate to him as Aslan the lion from Narnia. And so I remember standing at the back of the church, and it was time for me to walk down, and I could just see my lion, and he was right next to me on my right-hand side. And I remember him looking up at me and just saying, "Put your veil down," because I forgot to put my veil down. And we started walking, and I was reminded of this week, that was me and Jesus. It was less about my wedding, my husband. It was more about the walk that I was taking on, walking with Jesus alone. And I came to that acceptance place, that peaceful place, where I walk around now, still alone, but I walk alone, and I belong to my lion, and I belong to him forever and eternity. That was the song that was playing. It's Brian Dirksen's, but I won't play it. And I belong always and forever with him. So if there's anyone else out there who kind of struggles with belonging and belonging to many people and races, or not belonging to anyone, or, yeah, I hope this helps. Did I pass?
Can I pray for you? The word that I got as you were sharing was Jesus's John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear much fruit." So, is it okay if I lay my hand on your shoulder? Lord, we thank you for Evan. And Lord, we thank you that you have chosen her, and that you have her hand, and that you have given her a place to belong. You've given us all a place to belong. And Lord, I pray that the wounds and the hurts that have come from her past, Lord, that you would come and heal them, bring restoration and bring healing. And Lord, we thank you for her courage, and we thank you for her contribution, and we thank you that she's part of our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thanks, Evan. Paul has... Okay, then I'm Moses, is it? Ugo. Okay, after Paul. All right.
Thanks, Lily. Hi, my name is Paul. I have a testimony about a friend of mine. His name is Spencer Reed, and I met Spencer when I started my undergrad at Bible College, and we hit it off right away. And he actually became very important to me. Something about me, just for background, I've been single my whole life, and that's been something that was unhealthy for most of my life. I had an unhealthy relationship to my singleness. And, you know, his presence in my life was important to be able to feel loved, feel encouraged, feel like I had someone with me. And we just did really fun, ridiculous things together. That was awesome. And it helped me to feel embraced. And, like, I could do the craziest thing that most people would be embarrassed to do. But we could do it because we were together, and we could just spend time together. So we put on like 3 musical productions during the talent show at our Bible College, and it was awesome. And later on, he began dating another one of a good friend of ours. And when COVID hit, we actually decided to meet every week for 17 weeks. Because I broke up the Lord of the Rings series into a 17-episode mini-series. So every week, we would meet over Zoom. We would talk. We would check in to ask how people are doing. Sometimes we pray for each other, and we'd just be present together. And then afterwards, we would watch the episode together. And it was just a really important moment where I could feel embraced and accepted and listened to and understood and encouraged, and I needed that. I needed that as a single person, as a man, and trying to navigate my world, way in this world. And I'm telling this testimony because I was just at Spencer and Katie's wedding yesterday, and it was almost like a 2-day full celebration. And man, I like to dance and sing, but like, dancing last night was something else. So I barely even made it to church on time because I could hardly get out of my bed this morning. My testimony I want to leave you with is an encouragement. Whether you're single or committed to a romantic relationship, be encouraged. And remember to invest in friendships for other people who maybe aren't single, but they know single friends. Invite them to things. Welcome them into your life. It can be hard to do it on your own. And we as the body made in Christ are made to be together. So may you all be blessed as you join together in this mission that God has given us, for we are one in him. Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Yes. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to share, I haven't been too long in this church. I usually sit at the back or hide out next to the coffee, you know. I just wanted to say God has been really good to me, to my whole family. All the way since we came to the country, to this country in December 2021. God blessed me. I was attending a course in UBC. At times it was so tough. It was the most challenging academic undertaking I'd ever experienced or gone through, but God saw me through and we graduated successfully the end of 2022. But more specifically, I wanted to share that after that, I experienced one of the most challenging times I had ever experienced in my whole career. That's a 20-year career, 20-year plus career. You can see there's a little gray in my hair. I was looking for a job in Vancouver. And I thought to myself, oh man, I've been doing work all over the place for relatively large companies. God has been so good to me. Everything has been so good my whole life. It's going to be easy here. And it wasn't exactly the way I thought it would be. I went through so many challenges, 6-7 months applying for a work permit, waiting for the work permits, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, applying and applying and applying and applying and applying for job after job after job after job. And what I learned was sometimes God saves you from the fire, prevents you from getting thrown in the fire. And sometimes God says, go ahead, throw them in the fire. I'll see what I'll do. That was the kind of experience we had. We were in the fire, and God didn't let us get burned. God delivered me and honored me. And I just wanted to say, my experience tells me that if there are things you've been praying to God about for a long time, it doesn't matter how long, he will be with you in your time of trouble. He will deliver you and honor you. He did that for us. On the very same day, last month, I got a notification that my work permit had been approved. And the same day I was told, somebody called me and said, I have good news for you. We're offering you a job. Yeah. The same day, I was experiencing so many doubts. I think I had given up on so many things. And I thought maybe I had just believed wrongly and so on. But God had mercy on me and my whole family. And I just wanted to say thank God for that and share it before the congregation, because there are people, I think, that might use that information to their good. And MM wants to say some stuff also, because she has some serious testimonies to share. There you go.
Thank you. Good morning, church. My name is MM. I just want to testify, because when you're going through something and you're married, it's both of you, you know, and the pressure. And then seeing that we've been in Nigeria, it was a tough thing for me when we got married. And I came back from Dubai and we got a word of prophecy that God said we're not going to be living in Nigeria, like us. How am I going to tell this man that he's going to leave his good job and go to another country? So I tried to convince him when I went to have my baby in the US, and I was telling him, should we talk to your company to give you a role in Houston so we can start our life in Houston in 2014? And he said, no, we're going back to Nigeria. So we did go back, and I kept waiting on that prophecy to come to pass until a few years ago, when he decided that he was going to start the process of applying for PR or something for us to relocate. That was a miracle as well, that he even agreed to, you know, pack up, leave his, you know, amazing job that he liked, and I knew he was doing well there. So it's been a journey of faith coming to Canada, moving here. I was very scared, very terrified, coming to Canada without support. And then arriving in Canada, we had a lot of people have different stories, different tales. Going through the school year was really, really tough. You know, the academic expectations, so much reading, juggling that with family. But my testimony has been a journey of faith, because I had a lot of spiritual attacks when we arrived, and I didn't know why. I was asking God why. Like, you know, there's just too much resistance. I felt it. You know, I had dreams. I had a lot of things that I was going through that I couldn't even tell him. But I kept coming to church. When I come to church, I talk to the prayer ministry. I share with them. The women here pray for me. They encourage me. They give me words of prophecy that are very aligned with what I'm going through. And I just want to thank God for mercy, because I kept asking God, there has to be a way out. There has to be your own strategy, because I've been praying. I've done everything that I know. What else do you want me to do? So one day, some weeks ago, I was in the kitchen in the morning. He was out of the house, and God dropped into my spirit. He said, you've done everything, but I want you to do this one thing. I said, I was really, really eager to listen. And he said, I want you to go on a fast. I'm like, I've been fasting before now. I don't know. You're like, but this time you're going to fast for 7 days, and you're going to fast without eating any food for the 7 days. You're going to have only fruit. I'm like, wow, that I'm not sure I can do this. The Canada work is a lot. I mean, you have the home front, you have yourself, you need energy, you need food. So I told the Lord, if you're the one leading me to this journey, then you need to give me the grace, because I'm not sure I can do this. I like food a lot. I'm a foodie. And, you know, so I'll be cooking without tasting the food, calling my daughter to taste it, their salt, or we call it Maggi, bouillon cubes Maggi in Nigeria. So I'll call her, is this tasty enough? So that was why God led me on that journey, because that was his own strategy. It wasn't mine, because I knew on my own I wouldn't come up with that. I know that, yes, that was not my idea. But I went through that journey. On the second day, and God showed up. I was shocked. And it was the second day he got his work permit. The same day he got his job offer. I'm like, this is not real. The same week I got an offer as well. I got an interview again. Everything was just happening like back to back, like, you know, this is what I want you to do. And then he led me to praise. He said, keep singing. It was a warfare. It wasn't just ordinary. Okay, you have a good career or you have experience. It was not enough. You needed God's grace. So God's mercy had to step in. So why am I sharing this? Because a lot of Christians have been praying, but God has his own way for you. There's a way out of that battle. And I found out that even in my previous journey as a single, God led me through counseling. Through counseling, I got counseling from counseling to prayer, and God gave me my husband. But I couldn't get pregnant. I had a miscarriage the first year. I asked the Lord again. He said, go for counseling. I went for counseling, and after the counseling, I had to go through prayer again. After prayer, I got pregnant the same weekend. I'm like, okay. So there's every time you're about to move into a higher level or a transition or a new season, God has a system and a strategy that is very personal to you. So you need to seek him for that grace, the wisdom, the mercy, and the strategy that is very particular for your own situation. And that was what God did. And I thank God for the prayer ministry here. I thank God for Mr. and Mrs. Arnold. They've been an amazing family, so supportive. They've been so amazing to us, you know, the love. And I love the church. I really bless God for everyone here. And I want to give God the glory. I want to encourage every one of us not to give up, that God is faithful and that he will come through for every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Please forgive me, but what are your names again? Okay, I've been working behind an airplane engine for 30 plus years. My hearing is not going. Your names again, please. MM? Ugo. Okay, thank you very much, MM and Ugo. Anybody else? Okay. My darling wife said that she would be willing to share, so I will hand it over to her.
He's just my husband, not my darling husband. Sorry, I'm Asian, it's too public. Anyway, I think some of you know that I work at Regent College. I'm so glad for that testimony about work. So we've moved from relationships and, you know, roles as father, and now about work. I've been working for almost 14 years in this role, and I've always enjoyed my work because I believe in the mission of God at Regent College in providing theological education for the whole people of God. But I also have a passion to work at a certain level, you know. So it's not about who's watching and you know, what results I'm getting. I'm so grateful I don't work in sales and have to measure quota all the time. But I do what I do because of who I am and because of who God is. But through the years, I've always had this voice that will tell me, are you doing enough? Is what you're doing worth anything? Does it count? Is it making an impact? I know it does to the college, and the fact that we have people being recruited to study there, that is a really obvious one. But somehow, that question keeps coming back over the years. And I've prayed about them, and I'm like, I really don't believe that is God's voice, that is not from God, like that feeling of, like, you know, your life not mattering, doesn't matter. But so I just have been praying about it. And over the last recent, within a period of less than 2 weeks, I had three different students whom I have worked with over these 10 years come to me in different occasions, just telling me, either privately in person or publicly in front of a group that he was sharing with, just how grateful they are for how I have journeyed with them before they came to Regent. So I just want to encourage you, maybe in your work, you might be struggling to see the meaning, whether it matters, whether it counts for eternity, but God's word for us is your labor is not in vain. You know, just keep doing faithfully what you have been called to do. It doesn't mean that I will forever be at Regent. You know, I'm still open to like, well, if God wants to move me, he's always welcome to. But it would not be because of guilt or just fear that it doesn't matter. But it would be because God is inviting me to something else, if that happens. I'm not, you know, I'm not actually looking for a job. But for all of us, you might be looking at Excel spreadsheets. You might be, most of my work, although they are personal, they are by email. I almost never see them. Like 80% of the students that I work with, I never see them because only a small percentage of them ever get here. So the faithfulness of your work, even though it doesn't feel like it's impacting a person or eternity, I just want to encourage you that God sees it and it matters, and he would count it for eternity. And that's all that really matters. And if you need to receive an encouragement for the work you're doing, feel free to ask the Lord. He would bring along the what you need for that assurance, for that reminder. Bless you.
Okay. There you go. This will be the last testimony, and then after that, Wes can come up.
How am I going to follow that up? So I think, as probably a lot of you know, I've been at this church for a number of years, since university in first year. But Ingrid is new to this church. We just moved here in January. And the beginning was pretty rough. We moved in, we're not great planners, I'll say that at the get-go. About 5 days before we moved, we found a place to live, which was a basement suite with 12 other guys. And that there was probably multiple families of mice living there. And we thought it would be okay. And it wasn't really okay. You had to go to bed before 10 p.m. or the nocturnal mice would keep you up all night. So you had to kind of fall asleep and forget that it existed. On top of that, we had a car in Ontario and we didn't have a car here. And biking in the rain is not fun. I think it was tough for both of us, especially for Ingrid, because she didn't have a community that she had back in Ontario. And so the first few months were really tough. And I remember coming to church each week and looking over at Ingrid, sobbing in the pew, and thinking, I'm just bracing for the word that we have to move back to Ontario and you gotta get ready, Matt. The city's not gonna work out. But in the midst of that, first, Ingrid's a real trooper, but the mice worked itself out. Living with 12 guys was way better than we thought it would be. They were really nice. And we slowly found community. I just wanna kind of thank the people here in this church, especially because looking back at the move, I think it was only kind of the community and the friends that God put in our lives that really made the move work out. And I think that's true, looking back in my life, and so many times, like, community is really one of the biggest blessings I've experienced tangibly from God through my whole life. And even this past summer, we had kind of an unstable housing situation, and we spent May and June jumping about 2 or 3 weeks at a time from place to place to place of just our friends' hospitality, opening their spaces, their second bedrooms, maybe they're out of town.
Sleeping on couches,
yeah. So. Yeah, just the way that we've really experienced God in this season has been through community and through kind of God walking us through that transition. I think there's a lot of ways that we could say it and focus on all the bad stuff and be like, wow, this past 6 months was awful. But it's also just as easy to look back and focus on all the good things and the ways that God has really been good and really blessed us in so many ways. So, yeah, really thankful for that. Is there anything to add?
Yeah, I think one of the moments yesterday, we had our life group over at the place we're currently staying at, and that living arrangement was actually also quite a blessing. So yeah, it's, as Matt mentioned,
you got to be there for a whole 2 months.
Yeah, in May and June, we were at a place, longest 10 days, shortest one night. But for July and August, we had a place for 2 whole months and it was fully furnished. It's the prettiest place we've ever lived, like the most aesthetically pleasing place we've ever lived in. And it had this nice backyard where the couple that lives there, they were all for us hosting and they had no problem with having people over. And so we had a barbecue with our life group, and that was, I think last night we were both like, we feel so blessed and we feel we just really felt God's providence and his sovereignty in providing us with this beautiful space to be able to host. Because one of the things we wanted to do as a couple, as a family, is to be hospitable to those around us. So it was just so nice to have everything meld into one together. So maybe also a shameless plug for Join a Life Group.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Okay. I really want to, Wes, you can come up now. When you think about it, when you look around the room, we normally wouldn't gravitate towards each other, really. There's so many differences, age, economic, cultural, all those things that could divide us. But what brings us together is Jesus, his love for us, and his love for mankind. And we know that he loves us and he cares for us. Trish, I'm not going to do that thing with the thing that I gave you, okay? Because we went a little over time. I would just encourage you to know that God loves you, and to do the first two, the two most important commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we do that, we'll continue to be a community of diversity, of true diversity. So thanks, and thanks, Wes.